What is interesting is that the past couple weeks we have been kind of talking through some counseling things, some counseling procedures or passages that can be used when we help others, when we counsel others, when we encourage them, or God might call us alongside of them to help them walk in the ways of God. And tonight, we're going to continue kind of in that vein with this chart, which I call the Y chart, and something that I very frequently will use in my counseling with people. This I found to be a very visual way to show people about the ways of life and the consequences of their decisions, the decisions that they make in life. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 15. And as you can see, we're going to be beginning at the bottom of this chart. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. When we begin in talking with someone about issues in their life, things that are going on, decisions that they have made or are making, we need to dive, first of all, deep to the heart. Because what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, let's just look briefly at the context. We'll pick it up at verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. It is important that people understand, that we understand, that the heart is the root of all that we do. And what we're seeing here, and is what Jesus is defining for us, is that what comes out shows the condition of our heart. It shows what we're thinking. It shows what is important to us. What people see, what people hear, tells them something about me. I'm sure you can understand that even as you maybe think through your own life. As you think about times of frustration, and you may say certain things that, you know, normally you wouldn't want to say or don't say, but you say them. Well, why? Because in your heart, you are frustrated. You are placing maybe yourself above another. Maybe there's self-centeredness there. Maybe there is wrong priorities. And so therefore, what comes out, spills out of you, is fruit of what is in your heart. This is an important truth because many people don't understand that. They don't grasp that, especially if they're facing problems or difficulties based upon decisions that they've made in their lives. And it is important that we, as people of God who are seeking to walk with God, that we help guide others to the core of the matter. As you counsel and work with people, if they be your own children, friends, co-workers, you're going to have all kinds of symptoms out there, all kinds of difficulties. I had an argument with my wife. My child walked out last night slamming doors and I haven't seen him. You know, there's these different symptoms. I said this to my friend, and now they won't talk to me. Or I spend this much time on the internet, and it's killing my marriage and family. You know, these are symptoms out there of root heart problems. And as we seek to help people and encourage them, we have to, instead of first of all dealing with these symptoms, turn off the computer, or you need to just talk nicer to your son. Instead of just beginning there, you begin by looking at the core. What's going on? How are you thinking? Are you thinking in a way that is pleasing to God? Now, of course, in counseling, this obviously will follow up a presentation of the gospel. Because if someone is not a believer, is not a Christian, then of course you got to begin there. Because the Spirit of God is the counselor, really. It's the Spirit that works change in the people's heart. It is the Spirit of God that will use you, that will use me in the lives of others, and use the Word of God. And so it's so important that you begin with the gospel. But if someone has already trusted Christ, and they're still struggling, you need to begin with the heart. And that's what you have there at the bottom, the heart. In the box there, the inner man, it's the heart. It's the unseen. In other words, I cannot see your heart. I cannot see your mind. I do not know the condition of your heart until things come out. Things are said or things are done. And then I can begin to see it and understand it. But the heart is the unseen part. Your thinking, the way you are thinking. When we speak of the heart in the scriptures, many times it will refer more to that thinking mentality, what you are believing. Well, this brings us up to the point of decision. You realize that throughout your life, you are making decisions every single day. Throughout the day, many decisions. How are you going to respond to waking up late? You're going to make the decision when you get in the car which route you're going to take to work, which one's the fastest, which one's going to have the less traffic because you're late. You get to work and you have to make a decision about, do I go tell the boss I was late, or I just go to my job site and hope he doesn't find out? You know, all kinds of little decisions that we have to make all throughout the day, right? And this chart has been very helpful in my own life, and I believe helpful in the lives of some folks that I've been able to use this with. It's simple, it's easy for you to even draw on a napkin. If you're sitting down with someone at the restaurant and something comes up, you can draw this right out. I carry it with me in my Bible. I carry a small copy of it just to help remind me of the truths that are presented here in some of the scriptures. So the point of decision. This is at the bottom of the Y, and this is the point where you can make two choices. You have God's way, or you have the way of self. God's way, or the way of self. Now, when you make a decision, this is when things become outer man, they become evident, they become seen. And as we go through this, I want you to recognize how things are flowing. Because if you notice here, let's begin with the self side, the right side of the chart. And I want you to notice that when you make a decision, when you make the decision to please yourself, that what kind of decision is that for you to make, for me to make? Very good. It's an easy decision. Why is it an easy decision? It's because I naturally like myself, don't I? Yes, I do. And so do you. And so naturally we want to please ourselves, but our natural man, you know, our natural man is just inherently selfish. When we seek to please ourselves, who's number one? Me, we are, right? Now, you, most of you, you're here, you understand God's truth and stuff. Does that ring true with what God wants in your life? Does he want you to be number one? No. He wants himself. But you know what? There's some times when we choose to go the way of self. And you know what? It is a easy choice. Why is it that many times we find ourselves going that direction? It is so easy. Sometimes people refer to it as I fell into it. You ever heard that? I fell into sin. I mean, you don't really try to fall, you just do it. It's boom, it's easy. You just fall, you fall. It's easy. But look at the top. If you continue down the way of self, the easy decision, life becomes what? Life becomes hard. Life becomes hard. Let's look at that passage there, Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, and you could use other illustrations for this, but this proverb says it very clearly. Proverbs 13:15 says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard." It's hard. We can go to the story of David and Bathsheba. The easy decision that he made was, go get the woman, bring her to my place, we'll commit adultery. The easy decision was that. That was easy. It happened. It was natural, selfish. But have you ever studied the rest of his life? Life became very hard. Even for a king that God honored. This was a man after God's own heart. But yet consequences were hard in his life. His family was in shambles. His son died. It's easy to choose the way of self, but it ends up hard. The way of self is a very earthly perspective. In other words, when we choose the way of ourself, we are focused on this earth, on temporal things. We are driven by how we feel or what we desire. And when we are driven by what we feel and what we desire, we are naturally going to go the way of self. Because we are ignoring the eternal perspective, the ways of God. Just flip over to Proverbs 14 and verse 12. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So we choose the way of self. It's a very earthly perspective. Let's go to the ways of God. You come to a place, a point of decision in your life, and most times when people are sitting with me and I'm using this, there has been something tragic that has happened in their life, or they are struggling with sin. And so we lay this out in front of them and we say, listen, You've experienced the life of sin. You've experienced pleasing self. It was an easy decision. It ends up hard. That's why you're here at my desk, because things are hard. That's what happens. People come, they sit down, and because things are hard, help me. Let's look at the way of God. To choose God's way, it's what? It's a hard decision, isn't it? Do we agree with that? It is hard. I mean, I'll just be brutally honest here. Something that I'm dealing with, all right, is, I say this and I'm going to have to be accountable for it, but I need this. My wife likes back rubs. She likes me to rub her shoulders. I don't like to. Okay? It bugs me. And I know you. Okay, get on me. All right. It tires my hands out. All right, so I don't do it. It's the way of self. All right, well, I'll be honest. I don't do it. I'm a lazy. I want to relax. I'm thinking about me. All right. I've been convicted about this week, and I haven't told her yet about all this. So this is all kind of. This may seem very simple, but that's all right. You know, the way of God, the hard decision is, you know what, put aside how I feel, put aside my hands that might be tired, put aside the things that I might want to do, the news that I want to read or whatever, and do this as a ministry to my wife. The way of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that a husband is to cherish his wife, nurture her. I mean, there is some incredible principles there of how a man is to care for his wife. And I need to do that. And God's convicted me that part of doing that for my wife is back rubs. Now, that's a hard decision for me. You may look at me, and maybe it's easy for you, but it's hard for me. Because I have to deny myself. A hard decision. But when we go the way of God, life becomes what? Why is it becomes easier? Why is it not easy? I mean, wouldn't that make sense? Exact opposites? Let's flip things around, right? No. You know what? The way of God, it begins hard, but life becomes easier. Why? Because the context in which we live is an evil world. The evil world constantly points us to self. Self. You look at commercials, it's all about you, right? It's all about you. See, we live in that context. But when we choose the way of God, we have God's blessing on our life, and so God helps us live in this evil world in a way that's pleasing to Him. Amen? Amen. So life can become easier as we seek to please God and live His way. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want you to take note of verse 9. Apostle Paul writing here, and he says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." And here he's talking to the Corinthian church. But the one principle that we can see here is one of his purposes in life. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be pleasing to God. We go the way of God because that is God's desire. Please me. Live for me. And you can look at other scriptures that would speak to that. But the way of God is an eternal perspective. In other words, it's outside of yourself. It's outside of this world. It is of God and His Word. When we want to please God, it means that we're putting aside how we feel. And don't get me wrong, I am not discounting feelings, and feelings are a very, very valid part of who God made you to be, all right? Feelings and emotions, and we don't discount that in our counseling. But let's make this clear. We do not live according to them, okay? People have emotions, and we must respect emotions and how people feel. But we need to help people to not be directed and live by them, because then they're enslaved to this world, and to how they respond to situations. We want to be slaves of Christ, slaves of God, slaves of the eternal. Our citizenship is not here, is it? It is in heaven. And so, this is it's an eternal perspective. It's driven by truth, not feelings. We find that truth in God's Word. We need to be in God's Word. It needs to be a regular part of our lives. And maybe that's one of the decisions that God's working in your heart with. Do I wake up and I read the Word? Do I make time to read the Word today? It may be hard, but as you do, God's blessing in your life will help, and it will become easier. Flip over to Galatians chapter 6. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and draw your attention to verse 7. Galatians 6 verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice this principle. You shall reap what you sow. What kind of decisions are you making? What kind of seeds are you sowing? You will reap what you sow. No matter the decisions that you make, whatever they might be, they will develop habits in your life. They will develop into a lifestyle, a way that you live. You will notice that people that choose to please themselves have that kind of lifestyle, and they have habits that coincide with themselves. You notice people that are seeking to walk with God. They have habits and lifestyles that are such that are pleasing to God. There are several scriptures here that kind of speak to that end. I just want to draw your attention to Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1. For by him, and that is Jesus Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Is your life guided by that kind of thinking? Is your life guided by that kind of thinking that everything is created by God and it's for him? Verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. What an eternal perspective. And that is the kind of things that you want to be encouraging, whether it be yourself or someone that you're sitting down with, that you seek to help them to understand that habits and lifestyles you want to have such that are pleasing to God with an eternal perspective. So the inner man, it's a heart. You dive deep and you get to the core of the matter. The core of who a person is. What is it that is driving them to make decisions such as they are? Because what you are seeing, what you see, is really what is deep down in the heart. This is the Y chart, and this is some of the fruit of some of your gifts to me as I've spent time in counseling classes. So some of the things that I've been able to learn and put into practice, and I trust that this will be something that is helpful to you as you minister out on mission fields where I will never be. You talk to people and friends and family who will never talk to a pastor. I trust that God will use you. Take the blank one and set it in front of someone sometime and use it. And use it as a tool for God's glory. Remember, the Holy Spirit's the one that does the work. The Holy Spirit does the changing. But you can be a tool. I can be a tool that God might use. Number one, bring someone to Christ. Remember, begin with the gospel. And then seek to help them to learn how to make right decisions and the consequences of bad decisions. And the consequences of godly decisions. I trust that God will use you. Maybe someday you can stand up and share a testimony of what God has done and how God's used you. And that would be a great blessing to us all. Lord, thank you for our time and thank you for guiding us to this message tonight. And I trust that this will be encouraging and challenging to all of us, and that, Lord, hearts and lives will be changed as a result of this. In Jesus' name, amen.